Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. God's greatness exceeds that of the angels, men, or anything else, whether they are animate or inanimate, because He created them all. Therefore, He can calm a raging sea with a word from His mouth. Likewise, He can calm personal storms, because mercy and truth abound wherever He asserts His will. Please open your Bible to Psalm 89 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his study of this chapter.
Verse 6, we sang it tonight. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? I just love that verse. It kind of establishes that huge distance between me, the creature, and Him, the Creator. Exodus 15, verse 11 says, Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Our Lord is glorious in holiness. And He's doing wonders. Right now, God is doing wonders. Right now. Right here, in your life, in my life, in this planet that from the natural eye looks like it's crazy and mixed up, God is doing wonders. Jeremiah 10, verse 6 says, For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, you are great, and your name is great in might. I think another one of the most blessed disciplines in the Christian life is to just think of all of the names of the Lord. Just think of all of the names of the Lord. Our advocate, our bridegroom, our counselor, our deliverer, Emmanuel, the faithful one, the great God. We can go on and on and on. I don't know about you, but when my heart and my mind are overwhelmed or I'm in a valley, I find that the Holy Spirit will just bring to recall all of the characters, the attributes of God, and it seems to put whatever I'm going through in the place that it should be. What a God we have. Who can be compared to Him? You see, this verse tells us that you and I see something that God does not see. Wait, what are you talking about? We see something that God does not see. Every day we look around and we see equals. When God looks out, He doesn't see an equal because He doesn't have any. There's none like Him. There is none like Him. All of the universe is divided into creator and everything else. That's it. Creator and creature. That's all there is. There is God. And then there is that which is not God. There's the Creator, and there's created beings. Who is like unto our God? Who is like unto our God? Verse 7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about Him. O Lord God of hosts, or God of heaven's armies, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, you still them. Again, Ethan here repeats what he said in the last verse, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Who? Nobody. There is no one like our God. I think that the church, the whole church, needs a fresh revelation of the greatness and the wonder of God. I really believe that the church needs a God awakening. I really believe that. That's my prayer. God, give us an awakening. An awakening as to who You are. He stills the storm. Remember when Jesus sent the multitudes away, and he told the disciples to get into the boat and go to the other side. And they got in the boat and they went to the other side. And there was a storm. And the Bible says that Jesus rebuked the wind. And the word rebuked is the same word that was used when he cast out devils. So he sends the disciples on a mission, on a journey, just to go to the other side. And who sends the storm of opposition? The devil. And the Lord rebuked the storm. You and I are on a mission, beloved. We're on a mission. And the destiny is secure. We're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now is when we have opposition. There ain't going to be any demons in heaven. There's not going to be any devils in heaven. And so in this opposition that you and I face, this Jesus that is our Lord, who is a strong Lord, he still rules the raging of the sea. He still, tonight, if you're in a storm, he can, and he may, and it would be wonderful if he did, just say to that storm, stop. And it's over. That's it. One word. That's all he's got to say. Stop. It's over. How many of you are believing God for a stop, it's over miracle tonight? We have to learn to live with this mystery, don't we? And there is a mystery between knowing the character of God, the promises of God, and the things that we deal with. But never forget that God only has to speak a word. And that storm, that trial, that difficulty, that addiction, that affliction, whatever that is, must stop. Because he rules and he reigns. When the Lord did that, they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" There's none like our God. Verse 10, "You have broken Rahab," that is a symbol for Egypt. "You've broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. You have scattered thine arms with thy strong arm." And again, look at verse 11. "The heavens are thine. The earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, you have founded them." The heavens belong to the Lord. The heavens. I love 1 Chronicles 29:11. It says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all." What a great verse. What a great verse to memorize, to think on, to meditate on. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Yours is the victory. Yours is the majesty. All that is in heaven and earth is yours. Talk about sovereignty. He rules and he reigns over all. Another verse among many which declares that the heaven and the earth and all that is in them are because of the creation of God. They're not the product of evolution. "The north and the south, you have created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name." Hermon is a mountain up in the north, there near Damascus. Tabor, a little bit smaller, about 50 miles southwest of Hermon. And notice these mountains rejoice in thy name. How many times do you read in Scripture about creation, nature, worshiping God? It's amazing. Isaiah 55:12 says, "You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." I love it. I love the imagery in Scripture. You know, since I've been born again, I've never been able to look at creation the same again. Never. 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 But here's the thing. Saints, creation, mountains, clapping their hands. Now, it's okay to clap your hands at church. It's okay. It's biblical to clap. There's a whole number of Hebrew words that speak of worship. And they're all verbs. They're all verbs. They're action words. Now, you and I, you know, we love one another. We're kind of like sedate. And I'm not saying that noisy means that, you know, there's all different kinds of expressions of worship. But all of the expressions of worship, most of them in the scripture, are action words. Clap, sing, kneel, bow. I even had a guy not too long ago. It was during a worship service, and I'm standing in the back while the worship team was up here, and he said, you know, I really feel like dancing. Now, I knew that that would be a distraction for you guys, so I said, well, listen, I don't have a problem with it. And so I said, you see, my office is right on the other side of the wall. I'll open the door, on the wall, I'll open the door, and you can dance. Who are you dancing for? Well, the Lord. Well, then you don't need me to see you. But the point is that creation, Jesus said, if we don't praise the Lord enthusiastically and passionately, the rocks will cry out. And here, Ethan, a worship leader, talks about how creation worships the Lord. Verse 13, you have a mighty arm, strong as your hand, and high as your right hand. Justice or righteousness and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed, that word blessed means, oh, how happy and to be envied. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed are those people that know the joyful sound. There's nothing that can be compared to the joyful sound when the people of God are worshiping the Lord. That's the joyful sound. Worshiping the Lord. Blessed are they that know the joyful sound. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. When you and I were singing tonight, God fills our hearts and our minds as we worship him and adore him. They shall walk, those who know the joyful sound, those who are living in that communion with the Lord. And you can experience that joyful sound driving in your car, walking down the street. Just those songs that God gives you. You know, you ever have God give you songs in the night? You ever give? He just give you a song, just a worship song. Walking in the light of thy countenance. That means God's face shining upon you. Look at verse 16. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. I love verse 16. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day. The name speaks of who God is. And in thy name, we can rejoice all the day long. The Lord is the only reason that we have to rejoice all the day long. We all have difficult things that we deal with. But in the name of the Lord, we can rejoice all the day long. Hearing the name of the Lord is what rejoices our heart. To rejoice in His name means to rejoice in who He is. You know Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. For Thou art the glory of their strength, and in Thy favor our horn or power shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Talk about a security system. You know, you have those signs out front, you know, protected by ADT or all of that. Maybe we should have some signs made. Protected by Jesus Christ. Protected by Jesus Christ with a little caption, don't you dare. Or have a reference to that account in 2 Chronicles where one angel slew 185,000 Assyrians in one night. Real quick, you math people. What's 4 times 185,000? Because something just came up. Real quick, math people, come on. Somebody have what? 740,000. You know, my wife and I, well, whatever it is, you know, that's a big number, right? So my wife and I, we grew up in the city. We grew up like half mile away from East High School. And people from the congregation go, are you okay? Are you safe? What's the security system? I said, well, my Bible says one angel could slay 185,000. We got four of us. So when it gets to a 740,001, then I'll start to worry. The Bible says that God sends ministering angels to watch over you and me. He's our defense. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't buy car insurance or homeowners insurance. You know, we have that. But ultimately, beloved, the Lord is our defense. The Holy One of Israel is our King. In fact, in many Jewish synagogues today, verses 15 through 18 are recited on their New Year's Day after blowing the shofar. Verses 15 through 18. Now, starting in verse 19 to verse 37, the Lord now is telling us what He did for David. You spoke in a vision to the Holy One and said, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. The word mighty means a warrior. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant with my holy oil have I anointed him. Now, David is a picture or a type of Jesus Christ. The Hebrew word for anointed is the verb form Messiah and a type of Christ's anointing with the Spirit. You recall in Isaiah 61, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me. Notice why the Lord anointed Jesus. And Jesus read this passage when He picked up the scroll in Luke chapter 4. He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. That is what the Lord is doing right now. There are so many people that have broken hearts for so many reasons, so many people that are captive to so many things, so many people that are imprisoned by so many kinds of things. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God to set people free. You know, and here's the thing. There's so much that is going on in the world. There's so much that is going on in our country. And if we're not careful, it will be very easy for us to be drawn into some social or political or medical kind of a thing. And we're playing right into the enemy's hands. There's only one message that sets all people free. And that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Everything that our nation is battling with, it's a heart issue. It's a sin issue. It's not going to change because we change or don't change someone in the White House. It's not going to change if we get the vaccine. The only thing that's going to change anything is when you and I are changed by the Spirit of God, regenerated, born again, made new, old things passed away, all things become new. And all of these other things that people are battling with is because Christ is not king. And what's our mission? Preach the gospel. Give them the good news. The Lord still sets people free. With whom my hand shall be established. Now, speaking historically of David, but eternally of Christ. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea and his right hand in the rivers. And God here now reminds us of the expanded borders that God gave to David. It encompasses from the Mediterranean Sea on the west to the Tigris and Euphrates River on the east. At that time, it was 60,000 square miles of territory. That's a lot of territory. And when you hear all of these UN resolutions about the size of geography that belongs to Israel, will somebody please open up the Bible and show them the map? Say, you wait, because in the kingdom age, Israel is going to get all of the land promises that God promised to the seed of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. All of it. A lot of real estate he gave them. In fact, God calls that my land. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. And here is David now crying out to God. You are my Father. You are my rock. The image there is someone that is so huge and immovable. That's not you or me. We're not huge. We're not immovable. We're very small and very movable. But our God is huge, and he is immovable, an image of stability. The testimony of David, the man after God's own heart. You are my Father. You are my God. You are the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Now, David, we know from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, was the eighth son in Jesse's family. But God made him his firstborn, the honored son who received the greatest inheritance. And I always love reading 1 Samuel 16 when Samuel went to the house of Jesse. When a prophet showed up in your home, he either had a good word or you were in big trouble. And God was looking for a successor. Not God was looking. He found the man after his own heart. He goes to Jesse's house. God told him to go. And when Jesse understood that the prophet Samuel was there asking for sons, and the idea was sons that are going to take over for the king, he paraded all the older boys, the GQ boy, the MVP, and all of that. And after he goes through all of those boys, he says, do you have another one? And probably Jesse's thinking, oy vey, if you didn't pick them, you're not going to want this boy. He's got the slingshot, he writes music, and all he does is take care of sheep. And he shows up and says, this is the man. You see, because we look at the outward appearance. God saw David's heart. Bless the Lord, oh my soul,
bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.